Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Wade Foster, the CEO and founder of Zapier, the connector tool that allows you to sync data between web apps. Zapier now has over 2.5 million customers, including companies like BuzzFeed, Spotify, Adobe, and even I use the platform to connect and integrate with more than 1,000 different apps and tools. After studying industrial engineering and getting his MBA at the University of Missouri, Wade went on to join Y Combinator, the famed startup accelerator in the Bay Area, to focus on bringing Zapier to life. And they've had incredible success at growing their business through strategic partnerships and content marketing. Today's interview is another that I originally recorded for the Inside Sales Summit a few months back. That was the online event I co-hosted with Close.io, the Inside Sales CRM of choice for startups. And for that event, I did interviews with people like Chase Jarvis, Heaton Shaw, Neil Patel, Steli Efti, and more. So if you like what you hear today and you want to keep the fun going, then check out the other 50 plus interviews just like this one over at InsideSalesSummit.com. But for today, we're here with Wade Foster. In this episode, Wade and I talk about how Zapier landed some of their very first customers, eventually paving the path to working with some of the biggest companies in the world, like Google, Dropbox, Facebook, and countless others. We dive into how the Zapier team has leveraged growth strategies like strategic partnerships and content marketing to make it over the 2.5 million customer mark. We cover what Wade believes it takes to become a great salesperson in the early days of your product or service, how he thinks about hiring team members for their fully remote company, the best investment he's ever made in growing Zapier, and much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Wade Foster from Zapier. Wade, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm happy to be here.
So you guys have gotten some really recognizable brands to start using your product. And, you know, going back to the very early days when those really recognizable companies are super meaningful, do you remember who maybe one of those first big customers were that signed up?
You know, honestly, we never focused on big brands. Our goal was small businesses through and through. Build a good product that people could use, self-serve. And along the way, you know, turns out big companies have this problem too. And so we collected, you know, I would say, I don't even have the exact numbers to be honest, but I would guess, you know, 80% of the Fortune 500 probably uses Zapier in some capacity, you know, not as like an official, you know, approved vendor or something like that, but someone in the organization is using it in some way, much in the way that, you know, Dropbox is adopted because it's a good product and it's something that people like and use and love. And that's very much how Zapier started too, was, you know, let's build something that people can love and use and get it out there to as many folks as possible. So for us, it was never about chasing brands. It was always about how can we have as big an impact on as many businesses as possible. And our love is really for small businesses, to be honest.
So going back then, you know, to say your first year or so, was there like a tipping point where, you know, you guys just started hitting a major growth curve? Or has it been slow and
slow? No, it's no tipping point, no real like inflection points where it was like, you know, this and then all of a sudden like this, right? It's just very much a, you know, a curve that, you know, keeps going. And, you know, if you zoom in close enough, it looks very flat. But if you zoom out really far, it's like this nice curve that goes up and to the right really fast. And I think that's like kind of the magic of SaaS where, you know, you have this recurring revenue set up where you aren't starting from scratch every month. Every month you have the same base. And so it allows you to just keep growing. And so if you put the effort in day after day for many years and you are building something that actually solves a problem for people, you know, some companies will do it faster, some companies will do it slowly, but it works. Like it pretty much just works. That's the magic of SaaS, I think.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, like the everyday focus on growth, little things every single day. And one thing I really admire about you guys in particular is that you've been building out partnership marketing and content marketing for quite a while. It seems like it's sort of like in the DNA of everything you guys do. So what would you say has been sort of like your most effective channel for bringing in new customers?
Yeah, I mean, definitely partnerships has been huge for us, right? It's what fuels the growth flywheel, because every new integration we can do with Zapier is a new user base that we can tap into. And, you know, in the early days, it was us scrounging up, trying to get, just building them and then, you know, emailing them and saying like, hey, we built a cool thing. Will you do some sort of marketing with us, right? And we would just kind of scrap and claw for whatever we could get. As we've grown and built the brand, you know, at a certain point it started big. Most people build the integrations to Zapier. In fact, 99% now build the integration to Zapier. And along the way, we got better at figuring out, okay, when you do a launch, when you do marketing, when you promote integrations, what are the good ways to do that? And because we've gotten good at it and become experts at it, we're able to help coach our partners on the best thing to do. And so along the way, you kind of just hone and refine this process where you can get these bigger returns on the same thing that we were doing, you know, 5 years ago, but we're just way better at it now than we were then.
So I want to dig a little bit into, you know, your sales process, your sales funnel, call it. So
sure.
I know you have the freemium model that gives people the opportunity to jump in, test things out for free with a limited number of zaps. Are you guys doing anything else as far as, you know, like maybe outbound selling or, you know, direct outreach to people that come in on free trials and seeing if it's a good fit to upgrade, anything like that?
Yeah. So for the whole history of Zapier, it has been all inbound, self-serve, touchless. The closest we get to like a touched sale is customer support. And that's a very reactive thing. So, you know, people will email in, say, hey, I have a question. Can Zapier do X? My Zap, I'm having a tough time setting up a Zap in this way. That type of question. And, you know, we help them out. And if it works for them, we might ask them or point them to a paid feature that will help them get more out of it. And they'll offer it if paid. We haven't done much with outbound ourselves. That's something we're actually going to be exploring more of in 2018. But really, at the volumes we're dealing with, and when you're dealing with small business, you have to find efficient ways to convert these folks. So a lot of our time has been spent polishing the product, trying to remove friction from the buying process for these small businesses, right? I think of it kind of like a slide. You want these people to get on and just like swoosh right through, right? And so any places in your product where you're putting friction points, right? If you're like billing page isn't, you know, really easy to click through and go through. If your sign up page isn't really easy to click through and go through, that adds friction to the process. So you want to make that stuff really smooth. And then you can use things like automated emails to help smooth over some of those friction points. Like as you recognize like people are abandoning certain pieces or jumping off, you almost treat it like e-commerce, right? Like a checkout cart gets abandoned. Well, in SaaS, you know, they get halfway through a setup point or they don't finish this key thing. You could send emails automated and say like, hey, I noticed you got stuck on this thing. Is there any questions I can answer for you? To kind of prompt them along and push them back, get them back on the slide to hopefully, you know, push the rest of the way down. So I think we've tried to think of our sales process as how can we do this as touchless as possible? How can it be as automated as possible? And so that's been our approach over the last 5 years.
And you mentioned that, you know, the outbound model is something that you guys might be testing your way into next year. What, you know, by chance is motivating that?
So it's really less outbound, honestly, and more trying to accommodate more customer types. So there's a set of customers, typically larger companies, where they have a way of purchasing that is their standardized purchasing process, right? It's like you got to go to through procurement and you got to become an approved vendor. That's just the way we work. We're not like, we could try and change that, but like that's pushing against the tide, right? So for us, it's how can we help those people who already have chosen a lot of times that they've wanted to use Zapier. They've said, like, hey, we like the product, but to continue using, we need this approved vendor process to go through. So for us, that's kind of the next step. It's like taking these customers that have already chosen to use us, they've already picked us, and building internal processes that are going to require touch. Like, that is going to require getting on a phone call with somebody and working through that sales motion or sales process or purchasing process or whatever language you want to call it, and helping us get those customers into Zapier in some form or fashion. So that's kind of step one for us. Past that, we'll kind of see what comes next. There might be an outbound piece there, but the way we've always approached is to just listen to our core customers and pay attention to what they're telling us. So when they start telling us we want to do this or we want to do that, or we need to buy in this way or we need to buy in that way, that's a good hint for us that maybe we need to think about other things we can build as a company that can accommodate those. And those aren't always product specific things, right? Like this purchasing process is more of a process inside the company that we need to build to help accommodate that buying process a lot of these companies have.
Yeah. And I like that that's, you know, it's an internal reaction to what your existing customers are telling you they need in order to do more business with you.
Exactly. Right. I think a lot of companies, you know, especially companies that are struggling to get traction, they tend to just chase the trendy thing, right? It's like, oh, I heard about this company doing outbound, or I heard about inbound, or I heard about content marketing, and it seems to be doing great. Let's try it, right? Let's try it, see what happens. And I get like that because I've been there, right? I've been like, oh, let's just try it. It seems great. It's working for them. But all the times that we've kind of tried to trace the trendy thing, it's always, we've always struggled at it. But whenever we paid attention to what our customers are telling us, and it's not always like, you know, every customer is shouting this thing. Sometimes it's like, well, we've got this bucket over here of a handful of folks, a little different than our core people, but maybe they're different in a way that's indicative of some bigger thing. So if we try and serve them, maybe that opens up a new market for us that we haven't been paying attention to, right? So I think paying attention to your core customers, but also kind of some of the ones that are a little different, the little outliers, is a good way to, you know, figure out like, okay, what's the next smart thing we could try and tackle? And that might be outbound, it might be inbound, it might be content, it could be anything, right? But at least you're doing it based on, you're piggybacking off where your current success has been rather than chasing after what, you know, some blog post told you or some VC told you or something like that. You're going after what your customers are basically putting on a platter for you.
So, you know, with this slight shift and, you know, maybe it's being more accommodating, I guess, for some of your existing customers. Yeah. Are you planning on using existing people and resources at your company to make this shift? Or are you guys going to, you know, bring in like a VP of sales or SDRs? What's that sort of look like?
Yeah, we're starting to work through some of that right now. I think our line of thinking is to bring in a VP of sales who is eager to do kind of some of the sales piece solo for a while to figure out like what is the playbook that makes sense for this customer base, this market segment. And once they kind of have that, then it's start, you know, SDRs, account execs around that to scale it out a little bit. So kind of bring in that strategic mind who also wants to get into the weeds and like, you know, pick up the phone, sell, understand the mechanics of pricing and packaging and product pieces and all that. And then can help, you know, put it all together a little bit and then ultimately grow it.
So, you know, Zapier helps people and companies to, you know, essentially automate more tasks. And it's been sort of a, you know, a recurring theme in this interview series is, you know, in today's world where tools are helping salespeople, marketers, you know, do so many new things, you know, like everything is being automated essentially. What Yep. sticks out in your mind as, say, like a biggest challenge facing the salesperson, the marketer today?
Yeah, I think a lot of this automation is new. And so a lot of times you don't think like even, is there something I should be automating? Should I do it a different way? You get kind of stuck in this rut where it's like, I've always just, you know, done it this particular way and not thought like, is there a way that this could be faster or quicker or more efficient? And so to me, it's like having that person on the team who can bring that creative streak to just being like, oh, what if we did this? Or what if we did that? Maybe it actually would work pretty well. A lot of times these are like, you know, in bigger companies, is up being like the sales ops people, right, who are thinking about this type of stuff. And so I think that's like a really interesting place to be, because you can start to question and test your assumptions and figure out ways that maybe we can cut steps out of a process and make this smoother. Maybe there's ways we can augment this, like a current process, pull in more data or pull in more information to perfect our pitch. Those types of things that make you ultimately a more efficient sales and marketing team.
So you mentioned something there, you know, having very like entrepreneurial or innovative people that aren't afraid to, you know, test things out essentially. Is that like a common trait that you look for in people that you hire?
Yeah, I think so. Like, we want people who are kind of, you know, we don't want folks who are like just yes folks, right? Who are just like, yep, give me the task, I'll do the task. Like, and it's great to have folks that do the tasks, right? But we want a step above that, who are folks where it could take a kind of open-ended, sometimes ambiguous question and, you know, figure their way through it, right? And be like, well, you know, there might be a couple ways we could go about this. And they don't get paralyzed by that. Instead, like pick a path and then work on it and try and see where like some positive outcomes might come from.
How do you guys test for that, you know, during the interview process, aside from, you know, is it just like throwing case study questions at people, or do you guys do something else?
It depends on the role. You know, for like our support team, for example, like we want to see how troubleshooting works, right? So we'll give them a series of questions that get progressively more challenging, not expecting people to get it 100% right, but we want to watch their problem solving ability. So, right, if they see an error message, is their instinct to give up, or is their instinct to go to Google and paste in the error message and see what comes up, right? So it kind of hints at like, oh, this person is thinking, how might I solve this problem? I'm not really sure where I'm going, but let's see what Google has to tell me. So that kind of thing.
I like that the focus is on problem solving. And I think, you know, that's that's kind of a common theme with some of the best salespeople. Does anyone stick out in your mind as being a particularly impressive salesperson that you've gotten to, you know, meet, interact with, or even, you know, be sold by over the years?
Oh, see, this is part of my problem in the hiring process, is that I am so atypical of a buyer that I am the classic, you know, entrepreneur that doesn't want to talk to a salesperson, right? Like I like to try before I buy, and if it looks and works great, I'm going to sign up on the sales page. I'd rather not get on the phone and talk things through with someone.
All right. Well, Wade, this is going to be my last question for you. What would you say has been the best investment you've ever made in terms of building your selling skills? So this could be in the form of, you know, time, money, tools, education, or otherwise.
Yeah, there's some great books out there. And I think the best ones is like thinking about the best books I like are the ones that are around like copywriting, things like that. There's Robert Cialdini. How do you say that guy's last name? I'm not sure how you say it, but
I think Cialdini.
That's it. Yeah. He's got a couple books on like persuasion and stuff like that I think are fantastic. And it makes you really think about, you know, the language you use and how you approach, you know, a customer, whether it's in writing or whether it's on a phone, and how you talk about that. The other one is, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, classic book. I think it's fantastic at helping you understand and put yourselves in another person's shoes, seeing kind of the other side of things. So those are, I think, two great resources for folks who are just kind of getting started to think about this stuff, is paying attention to like human behavior and the language and the ticks that kind of make people do the things they do.
Beautiful. All right. Well, Wade, thank you for joining us. For everyone watching today, you can learn more about Zapier just at zapier.com. Is there anywhere else you'd like to point people to learn more about you and everything you're doing?
Zapier.com is great. I'm fairly active on Twitter too, at Wade Foster. So if you want to ping me a note there, that's great too.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you again for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.